Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Somebody please think of the children!
Shifty eyes. Anyway. Welcome back to Little Cuts, our weekly mini-sode, where we dig into the things that we've been watching recently. I'm Terry.
And I'm Mary Beth, and also playing. This week, we're chatting about Camel Attacks, Ghosts and Gays, Cemetery Upkeep, It's the End of the World as We Know It, and Big Boys.
Big boys.
But speaking of big boys, really quick, have you seen the videos of Neil the Seal?
Neil the Seal?
Have you seen him?
What is this?
Okay, so Neil the Seal is a giant, he's giant, but he's a baby elephant seal that is just like chilling on an island in Tasmania because it's like an island and it's like, and they live near the water. So this guy like took a video of him just like laying and yelling at him on his grass. And then there's another video where he's just getting sprayed with a hose and he fucked up someone's window and he's only a baby, but he's like, hundreds of pounds.
A 400 kg wild animal who could kill you.
Yeah, so like Steve and I were talking about this right before recording because I was imbibing and watching TikTok and I saw him and I was like, I love this boy, but he's so scary. And Steve was like, yeah, like elephant seals are humongous. Like they could kill people. He's a baby. What's going to happen when he gets bigger? He doesn't seem very scared of people. And I was like, I don't know, but we need a fucking horror movie about an elephant seal. I don't know if we've ever done that, if anyone's ever done that, but like, I feel like there's something there. Cocaine elephant seal. Oh no. Benzo's elephant seal. Quaaludes elephant seal.
I just saw, I found an article about Big Boy Neil. And there was a TikTok video of him just laying in the middle of the road. The police have put up warning cones and are blocking traffic. And he's just laying there.
He's fucking huge.
Looking like a cat. Just happy.
Just fucking... I think that... Yeah, that's a good question for Purina about elephant seals and like colony stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's because he's male? Or maybe he's just like a special weird boy. But, like, how do you rehabilitate that? Like, where do you put that? He's so big. I don't know. I was thinking too much about, like, the logistics of trying to, like, make sure he doesn't ruin, like, he doesn't fuck up his life and then also fuck up people's houses even more.
Apparently, Benny the Seal, another seal, has been regularly seen sunbathing on the steps of the Sydney Opera House.
Apparently, fucking seal? Wow.
A thing.
Wow.
Good for Benny. I agree, Pepperina. Good for Benny.
Anyway, just have to share about Neil the Seal because it's been on my mind recently.
So talking about potentially dangerous animals is actually a good segue into this first one. Camel's Attacks? I think
yes.
I know what movie this is, and I'm curious to hear about it.
Yes. So this just hit Netflix and it's called Naga. A couple people have been tweeting about it and I was excited. I heard about it out of TIFF.
Yeah, I saw Joe mentioning that it was like being buried and Netflix wasn't talking about it.
Yeah. So how do I describe this movie? So it takes place in Saudi Arabia and it's essentially the tale of a woman's night gone very wrong. She sneaks out to go hang out with her boyfriend. Her dad is incredibly strict and he would kill her if he knew that she was out with the boy. She goes into the desert with the boy. They do drugs. The night goes wrong. A camel attacks. It's pretty, it's a movie that I was knew nothing about. I just knew that there was a really good animal attack scene, and I had no idea anything else. And so I'm watching it, and so Michel Alchester, this is his feature film debut. He's done a lot of shorts. He did a little too much, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's very maximalist in its approach. I feel like he's adding a lot of very interesting, like, genre elements, but then also just a lot of really weird visual elements. And it's quite fascinating and quite interesting because it's also a really fascinating look at gender politics. And while obviously gender politics in Saudi Arabia and toxic, violent patriarchal power with his main character, but he also kind of paints her as kind of a dickhead too, and what patriarchy also makes women into sometimes, which I was kind of obsessed with. It's just a really fascinating look at privilege and gender and this like very strange intersection of things. And then A Camel is not the main part of the movie, but it's a very pivotal part and also is like a symbol throughout the film. The camel is incredibly justified in what she does. It's really different, but I really like it for what it is. Like, it's a little too much, okay, but I like it because I can kind of, I see the vision. I feel the vision. I understand why he did it. It feels very much like, just trying to think of the director. I cannot think of the director right now, but it feels like a very particular aesthetic that you see in like indie horror and like indie noir stuff filtered through a Middle Eastern lens in a really interesting way. Yeah, specifically Saudi Arabian. Yeah, I'm glad I watched it. It's on Netflix. It's really, really interesting. Like, it's weird and I like it a lot. I definitely would check it out. Again, it's a weird one, so be in the headspace for weird, but yeah. And it's like, I don't know, weird Middle Eastern genre cinema. Like, we don't get that a lot, especially like getting access to that over here. So it's just really cool to see like genre stuff filtered through like that lens.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I want to watch it. I forgot to watch it this last week because I was like, I should watch that. And then I forgot. I'm glad it's good. I'm hearing good things about it. So that's,
yeah,
I'm excited.
Yeah. All right, so now for something completely different, Ghosts and Gays.
Ghosts and Gays. This was one of the movies that I had been looking forward to all year long, and I finally got an FYC screener for it last week, and so I sat down and I bawled my eyes out watching All of Us Strangers. The new Andrew, is it High? I believe. You are now, regardless whether you know it or not, Andrew, your last name is High. He of course, was the director of Weekend, the gay romance movie that took place over, spoiler alert, a weekend. And then he also did Looking, the TV series. I believe that was on HBO. He also was a director on The OA, which I didn't realize.
Oh, huh. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So it's his new movie, and it is based on the novel Strangers by Taichi Yamada. And it is about this screenwriter, man in his 40s, late 40s, pushing closer to 50s, played by hot priest himself, Andrew Scott from Fleabag. And he's magnetic. I love watching him.
You sent me a TikTok video of them, and I was just like,
oh, I know. And so he's like moved into this new high rise apartment building. It's only him and literally like one other person who is played by Paul Mescal, who I have decided I have a crush on.
He's so cute. He's so pretty. He's just so pretty.
And he enters the like pantheon of like Timothée Chalamet, in which when he is with a co-star, it's almost as if like that person is the only person in the world. And so get you someone that looks at you the way Paul Mescal looks at his co-stars, really. So yeah, it's just him and it's just Adam, Andrew Scott's character, and Harry, Paul Mescal's character, in this building that is literally, they're the only ones there. And it's new and it's just opening up. They don't even have security there or any of that kind of stuff. And Adam is very sad. He is a very sad man. He grew up in a time similar to me, which is why I think I cried a whole lot in this, because he's a gay man who lived through most of his life being afraid of AIDS and being close to people and having intimacy And so it's about him. And one day at the very beginning, after he meets Harry, he goes to his home. He goes to his home, his parents' home, and his parents are miraculously alive, it seems like. And they've died 30 years ago in a car accident. And he goes to them and he is chatting with them as if they have not seen each other in 30 years, which of course they haven't. They're ghosts. They're obviously either figments of his imagination or they're ghosts. And he is working through his life, talking to them while also tentatively pursuing a love story with Harry. And it is, the last third of this movie is a hard watch.
Really?
It's really good, but it is really, really sad to see sort of like a microcosm of Adam trying to go through all facets of life within basically a very short amount of time, and a lot of regret and a lot of unanswered questions of his like life and his youth, and wondering what his parents would think now in terms of him coming out, because he was like 12 when they died and so never got to know him. And so it's like there's a lot of that. And boy, is it an emotional watch? Is it a powerful watch? Particularly, I think, for I think gay men of my generation, it will probably hit really hard. But I love it. I loved it so much. The performances are great. And it's just so good. And so sad.
I don't know what to say. I'm so excited to see this. I emailed to request it because I remember to request it. I'm like so scared to watch this movie because I just know it's going to be so good and so heartbreaking. And these two men are like the best actors. And I still haven't seen After Sun, which was like Paul Mescal's breakout role, because I cannot handle father-daughter issue movies like at all. Like, this one might not be as bad, but it sounds like it's pretty... I was getting emotional hearing you talk about it. I was like, fucking God damn it. Andrew High knows how to make these sad, beautiful queer movies that, like, celebrate the queer experience and also just, like, tear your heart out of your asshole. And it's just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my assessment on him.
I was, you know, because, like, I've been waiting for this. I've been excited for this. And so I was like, is this going to live up to the hype that I've built up in my head? And it definitely does. It's definitely sadder than I was expecting it to be. It's really just a beautiful, sad, melancholic movie. I definitely highly recommend it. I think it's out in theaters right now.
Yeah. Wait, he didn't direct the one about the two gay sheep guys? Who directed the gay sheep man movie?
The gay sheep man.
I love that movie too. I just can't remember the name.
Was by Francis Lee. That was God's Own Country by Francis Lee.
God damn it. Sorry, I didn't mean to get the sad gay movies all mixed up. Sorry. I'm part of the problem.
I love that movie though. That movie is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It is. Anyway. Hell yeah. See? Like,
so Purpurina just said that she will marry. Question verbatim, and it gave the right movie. You know, the internet knows.
It wasn't an inaccurate description. Anyway,
I knew exactly what you were talking about immediately. But yeah, so that was All of Us Strangers. Let's go into, I guess, a video game direction. I want to hear about the cemetery upkeep. Wait, is this Graveyard Keeper?
It is Graveyard Keeper. Last week, I was looking for a new game to play. I've been like exhausting Stardew Valley, and I was like, I want something a little bit different. And so my colleague Justin Wood recommended this game Graveyard Keeper to me. He said it's like got that Stardew Valley vibe, but it's creepy. And I was like, well, say no fucking more. That is exactly my brand of shit right there. So I bought it on my Switch for $20 whole. And I love it so far. I'm not super far. I'm still kind of discovering everything. But I absolutely am obsessed with the aesthetic and the vibes. And the fact that you're just, like, recruiting zombies and, like, doing weird magic shit. And you have a skull that flies around you and, like, yells at you and asks you for beer. And it's also, again, got that very... I'm like, I cannot remember the word for it. But it's like, you know, in Stardew Valley, where you're kind of looking at the bird's eye view and you're seeing your sprite... Walk around. That Yep, to top down, very similar. And as you, because there's a whole huge map. So you have like your, so like in Stardew, you have your farm. In this, you have your graveyard. So you have your house and you have your garden, and then you have the church and you have this massive graveyard that you can take care of. And you have to take care of all the graves. And I'm at a point now where I have to make the church all nice, because once I make the church all nice, I can unlock all this shit. And so it's basically, again, like Stardew, there isn't really like an end game. It's just like quests that you do to get more shit, to get a bigger and nicer cemetery and get more power. And then there's a village you can go to. And there's also this like overarching thing of like kind of a potentially not fascist government, because it takes place in the past, but like, and like kind of you're in a kingdom under like a bad, bigger bad ruler, and there's weird stuff going on there. I'm very into it.
Now, is this, can you sell dead body meat to the local butcher?
Yeah, so you have to you have to get like a counterfeit I'm working on getting the counterfeit stamp, actually. You have to get the stamp because they were like, oh yeah, a long time ago people were selling human meat, so we have to get it stamped and by the inspector. And so you have to find the stamp so you can basically sell human meat to the local tavern. It's awesome.
Hell yeah.
It's great. Very much my shit.
I did not realize that it was on the Switch, so that might push me to go get it. Because I did buy it on Steam when it was on sale, on a Steam sale. I think it's on sale right now on Steam for like 75% off. But
probably, yeah.
It's not a game that I would want to just sit from my computer and play. Like, I would want to have it somewhere else.
And that's so how I play like Stardew and stuff on my Switch. It's like the best way to play. You could like lay down in bed and just like play it until you fall asleep.
Hey, I don't blame you. In fact, I got my roommate Cass into Stardew. She loves it. She's addicted to it.
Yep. So this is very similar. Just a little bit more macabre, a little bit weirder. I keep being like, oh, it's not like Stardew. And I'm like, give it a chance, Mary Beth. It's not the same game. It's just very funny, like trying to learn the mechanics, and like they're a little bit different, but I like it a lot. Creepy Stardew, essentially. And I'm excited to see where it goes. Oh, and I think on the Nintendo Store, all of the, like, there's a bundle of all of the DLC and the game. I think it's, like, $15 right now, actually. So if you want to get all of the bundle, like, all of the extra shit and the game, at least on, it's probably on sale on Steam, too, so check it out.
I think I will probably get it on the Switch, because that seems like, because it doesn't work on my Steam Deck, because I've checked, and it's not
on
my Steam Deck, so... And I do want to play it like in bed or lounging about somewhere, not sitting in front of my computer. So I might get that on the Switch then. I'm glad you're having fun with it. You said you're not that far into it?
Not super far, but I really like what I'm playing. I will update, but I like what I'm seeing and kind of understanding how the world works. I'm getting started on the combat and like fighting things now and starting to like talk to people, and ghosts are also giving me quests on top of living people. So ghosts will appear and be like, can you move this person's body? Like, their ghost is a bitch and I don't want to be near them. So there's like ghost drama happening, and you have to like accommodate all of the drama in the graveyard on top of it's that so cool. Amazing. I'm obsessed. Yes. That is so amazing.
Maybe it'll scratch that itch until like the haunted chocolatier finally comes out.
I know. Well, and he's working on an expansion for Stardew right now, too. And I'm just like...
1.6 expansion.
Yeah. I know. And I'm like, I want the expansion, but I also really want Haunted Chocolatier.
I want to open a chocolatier shop in a haunted castle. Please,
I just...
Thank you. Please and
thank you. I so desperately require it.
Same.
It's the end of the world as we know it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the new Sam Esmail joint. Leave the World Behind.
Oh, tell me what you thought. This got Ethan Hawke and Julia Roberts in it. Mahershala Ali's
Ethan
in it
Hawk,
too.
Ethan Hawke, Julia Roberts, my God, I just totally butchered his name. Yes, all of them.
Okay. Yes.
And it is interesting. Did you watch Mr. Robot?
No.
I am a huge fan of Mr. Robot. Really loved Mr. Robot. It was one of those water cooler moments for like with my coworkers. I got them into it, and so then like we would watch it, and then the next day we'd be like trying to dissect what is happening, because that show just like there was so much going on in it that it just, it really invited having a conversation. And I've been a fan of his work, and this team behind it, it's Sam Esmail, who's the director and the writer. It's also has his cinematographer that he used in Mr. Robot, which Mr. Robot's cinematography was fantastic. Todd Campbell is the DOP.
Okay.
And then Matt Quayle did the music, and he also did the music for Mr. Robot. So it's a very core team, and Mr. Robot is the reason why Barack Obama, who produced this, hired him. Yeah. So Purpurina is saying, wait, what?
Sorry?
Yep, so the book that this is based on by Rahman Alam was on Barack's favorite books of the year that it came out.
And okay. He loved it.
And so then when he started to get into producing stuff for Netflix, because they entered a deal, he loved Mr. Robot, he got Sam involved to make this movie. And Purpurina saying, how are you saying any of this casually? This is all news to me. Oh, I thought that was known. Yeah, so Barack and Michelle were producers on this. In case you're not aware what it's about, it's a family that are, they seem very rich, and they are leaving the city to get this Airbnb for the weekend. And outside of the city, they're trying to get time away. Julie Roberts is, I love her. One of the first lines she says in here is about how much she fucking hates people. And I'm like, okay, I get you. And they leave town. They go to this small, or not small, this very big mansion for an Airbnb for the weekend. As they're riding out there, their young daughter is watching Friends. She is catching up on Friends on her iPad, and she is on the final episode, the finale of the show, and the Kirk connection dies. And it's sort of like an ominous foreboding moment, because as they get to the house, eventually the Wi-Fi stops working, the television stops working. They're like, what is going on? They were at a beach earlier, and a ship just careens into the beach. This big oil tanker just careens into the beach, and there's like them running from it, and so weird things are happening. There's like animals acting bizarre. Then that night, then after everything starts to like be really weird, a man and his daughter show up at the house and say that this is their house, and that they were on the way home from the city, and they started hearing things, and there's like weird stuff going on, and they return to the house because they have nowhere else to go. And so there's sort of an uneasy, paranoid thriller aspect to it of like, are they really the owners of the house? Or is Julie Roberts' character just a racist? And there's like that. They're stuck in the house, and then weird things starts to happen. And it is basically, you start to learn what is going on in the world. And it's a little too long. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
Oh, Jesus.
And I really think it could have been about 2 hours. And it's one of those movies that like Mr. Robot, it raises a lot of really interesting questions, but then it leaves and it has a lot of breadcrumbs. Like I have already seen a bunch of TikToks dissecting what the imagery in this movie means and the sort of Easter eggs and the background scenes. And it doesn't really give you a lot of resolution. And so I think some people are going to be really frustrated by that, but asks a lot of really interesting questions. And I think that it is a very interesting look at where we are at socially right now in terms of what would happen if something happened and we lost connection to everyone. And there's a lot of dread. This movie is very dreadful, and there's no real release to it. And so it leaves you without knowing how to feel. And I think it's very interesting. I'm not 100% sure how I feel about it. I really enjoyed it, but I'm still trying to parse out my feelings toward it, even after I saw it on Friday. But it's on Netflix as well, and I recommend giving it a shot, particularly if you're a fan of Mr. Robot, because it definitely, it feels like Mr. Robot.
I've been seeing like middling things, so I'm...
I think it's a diversive, it's a divisive movie. I think I because again, it does not give you answers, and there's a lot. I think it's a movie that would reward a bunch of watching. I'm not sure if I have the patience for that because it is
almost
2.5 hours long. I think it's really interesting in what it's trying to do.
Okay. All right. Maybe I will give it a shot then. Sweet.
So that was Leave the World Behind. And now, Mary Beth, let's talk about some big boys. It's cuffing season, I guess, right?
Yes. Our found footage pick for this week was Troll Hunter, Andre Overdahl's 2010 film. Was this his feature film debut? I should have looked this up before we started.
I believe so.
I believe this was his first movie. If not his first... Oh, no, it's not, because he did something in 2000. Oh. But this is kind of the movie that like put him on the map in the horror world. His breakout movie from 2010. We have both seen this before, but we hadn't seen it in a long time. And it's our show, and we can do what we want. And we wanted to watch big monster boys running around the forests of... Farting, cleaning. Sliming, pissing. Yeah. And talk about how cool it is to see big CGI monsters done so well in found footage. I just think it's neato burrito.
I also think it's neato burrito. And I, as I was watching, so like the premises is that we're following this like university documentary crew that are trying to like make a documentary that's going to like put them on the map, and they're following the story about like a poacher who has been killing bears, and they try to get information from him, and he is very tight-lipped, and then they decide to follow him one night and discover that he is a troll hunter and is tasked by the Norwegian government to wrangle trolls and keep them from the public's knowledge. And so we just follow them along on this journey. And of course, in true found footage fashion, it starts off by saying that, you know, this footage was recovered and it's played in chronological order and we have not seen them since, you know. And so you kind of go into it knowing that something is going to happen. And we just sort of follow them along hunting trolls. And what I loved about this is it pulls me in so much that when we are getting like scientific reasons for why the trolls are hypersensitive to light and what it does and why some trolls will explode and some will turn into stone, I was like, yeah, this makes perfect sense.
That is why I love this movie, because this is like my favorite kind of movie where you take something like that and you make it so like feel so normal and like, and make such a cool world out of it. Like, obviously they're trolls and that's nuts. But then like, again, you have the vet who looks at the red blood cells and all the categorization systems and all of the different ways that the government has created like ways to hide things. And I love, it's not even just like conspiracy theory stuff. I just love when those kinds of creatures are integrated into our world and it's built into the world in such like a specific bureaucratic way that I find so interesting. And I also love how funny this, I forget that this movie is funny. And I think Andre Overdahl has a really funny, like a weird and charming sense of humor that he can add in like troll farts in the middle of like the woods. And it's still kind of scary. And it's still like, I want to laugh, but also like, what the fuck is going on? Because again, even though we know that the trolls are CGI, the way that they use darkness and night vision in this really makes them feel real because of like, they can play with not having to make them look as good. And because it's a shaky cam, it's night vision, that grain really helps these trolls feel real in the world, especially for a 2010 found footage movie. Like, it's really impressive. And I always knew it was, but I always, like, it's really cool what they can do with this movie. It's just, you know, Cloverfield, people talk about Cloverfield a lot, but this, I wrote an article about this a while ago about like how this and Cloverfield are just like proving that you can do big monster movies on a budget. Like Cloverfield probably had a bigger budget, but still like there are ways to do like kaiju big monsters with found footage effectively. And I just think it's so cool how he did that. And I want him to do more found footage. I know he probably won't.
Yeah, me too.
But
I, you know, I love the little details in this. You know, you talked about the bat and the blood and learning that. But I also love the first troll that they come across has three heads. And they just explain it. You know, as most trolls have one. And as they get older, they might grow others. But they're vestigial. And like, they're usually just there to, like, frighten other trolls. So, like, I'm loving that all of this is happening. And I'm just like, that makes sense. Yeah. Yes, tell me more. I want to know more about these wild ass troll names. And
are you religious? Are you religious? Are you a virgin? Like, they can smell you. Like, they can smell you if you believe in God, or like, and it's just like so funny, like picking and choosing these things, like, because trolls are obviously more of a folkloric, like, part of the folkloric tradition in Norway and in Scandinavia. But like the kids, for all intents and purposes, are talking about, like, oh, does this happen? Does this happen? And it's funny how they integrate folklore into this, but making it go, like, oh no, it's science, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just really cool how they work with all of that.
I did have three thoughts watching this. One, I love that the trolls are basically shouting, goddamn Christians, because one of the subplots of this is that they can smell Christian blood. And so they're like, are you Christian? And everyone's like, no, I'm atheist. And one of them, of course, is Christian. And so, like, I love that the trolls are basically saying, fuck you, Christian.
It's great because they're like, Christian fucking pillagers and colonizers, go fuck yourselves. Like, it's great.
Yeah. And I also forgot the comedy. I love the sequence where they're stuck in the cave and the troll just sort of sits down blocking their entrance, and you can tell that they're farting and they stink, and it's just, I love that. I love the fact that basically they're trying, it's almost like the reverse conspiracy theory. Like, they are trying to create a hoax to keep people from knowing the truth of, like, as opposed to, like, Bigfoot is out there. It's like, no, Bigfoot doesn't exist. So I love that. That's like sort of like trying to cover up the truth with that sort of thing. I love that. And one of the other things, I felt really bad for the trolls.
I know, it's one of those things where it's like they were there first and you're kind of like, they're obviously just like, and they're sick when we really find out, like, also what was potentially going on. Like, they're just trying to live their troll lives, and people are like, no, you can't.
We're going to turn you into stone.
But I also love Hans. I love a good, like, jaded, like, character like that. And just, he's like, they're like, why are you letting us film you? He's like, because I hate my job. And he just, like, is so over it. And I love his character. I loved his character the first time I saw it. But then watching it this time, I was like, I just appreciate how fed up he is and how he's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm just going to talk about this. And, like, he's in the suit of armor, trying to lure the troll to get the blood. That's my favorite part of the fucking movie. He's in a suit of armor and he's like, I hate this job. And he's like throwing goat blood on the ground to lure the troll. And then the troll like throws him around. And it's just so funny and so, but also and scary though, because you're like, wait, hold on. Is he okay though? They did such a good job of being like, oh no, wait a second.
I thought he died. Like, yeah. I was like, wait, did he die in this? Because it had been since it first came out on DVD that I've seen it. And so I was like, wait, did he die? Because it is vicious.
Oh yeah. And again, the best, like, it's such a good intro, and it's like when he just runs up to them, like when they're in the woods following him, trying to understand what he's doing, he runs out behind them, just goes, troll! Troll! He's just has like no time, and it's just a good intro, and then a troll appears. And this making, and the sound design also. I listened on my headphones, and the sounds the trolls make, fucking disgusting. Incredible use of sound design. So
I did have I have a question and a critique. My one critique is, with trolls of this size, you would think that you would be seeing some massive dong just swinging.
I don't know how the reproduction works in the troll world. I don't know if they like pop out of the ground or like if there's a different kind of way they appear.
Brandis is troll tucking.
Troll fuck. That too.
The first time I saw one of the trolls, I was like, oh, that is a big donk. No, that's just his tail. So like, and that's where I started to like think about it. I was like,
maybe they got that weird like Shape of Water thing where it's hidden and then they like whip it out or whatever.
And then my question for you is, if you were a documentary film crew and you were following poachers and then found out that trolls and you were given an option to follow them, would you do it?
Yeah, I would.
Me too.
I had to. I'd have to. How do you not? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's dangerous, but trolls.
It's trolls.
Finally got, like, proof that there's, like, some weird-ass shit out there. I gotta follow through. And, like...
Me too.
They made it for the most part until, you know... Anyhow. Bureaucracy. Fuckers. Goddamn government. Cool. Well, that about does it for this week's Little Cuts, everybody. I'm very excited for what we're watching next week for the found footage series. Terry, what are we watching?
All right. So we are watching a new one for me, Frankenstein's Army. And the only thing I know about this movie is that apparently Resident Evil Village might have stole creature design from it. And that's about all I know. So I'm excited.
It's really good. It's a good progression because it's more monsters, more practical effects and stuff. So I'm very excited for you to experience it. And I believe it's streaming on Tubi for anyone who wants to watch it.
I looked it up and it looks like it's on Freevee and it's on Tubi and it's on a number of free sites. So
yeah.
Y'all can watch along with us, hopefully, please, and thank you. But I know you're very excited with who we chatted with for Monday, Mary Beth, and I really enjoyed this movie, too. So who are we talking with?
So we're chatting with the filmmakers behind the indie film Soft Liquid Center that is out now, just came out this week. So we're talking to Steph Holmbo, who wrote the film and stars in it, and Joseph Colleen and Zach Gutierrez, who directed it and also wrote it with Steph. And it's a really awesome talk because the movie is incredible. It's a really lo-fi, indie, haunting look at life after abuse. So I'd give it a watch if you are in the headspace for that. It's definitely not an easy watch. What is an easy watch? What is a fun watch? Was Steph's pick. Steph picked Anaconda. So we're talking about Anaconda on Monday, motherfuckers. Get excited because... It is both me and Terry's first time watching Anaconda.
First time watching.
So it's just a very fun conversation because it's Anaconda. I mean, like, it's great. So get stoked.
Hell yeah.
So listeners, you've heard from us. We want to hear from you. Did you watch or play anything that we talked about this week and have thoughts? Do you have suggestions for found footage movies for us to check out? Not August Underground, Tony. Do not even suggest it. You can send us an email at scarredforlifepodcast@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on social media. I'm at MB McAndrews on Twitter and at MB.McAndrews on Instagram.
And I am at Gaily Dreadful everywhere.
Why aren't you following Scarred for Life on social media, fools?
Seriously.
You can follow us on Twitter at Scarred Podcast and Twitter and Blue Sky at Scarred Podcast. And at Scarred for Life Podcast on Instagram. Jesus.
Yes, and please. Social media is getting ridiculous. Like,
and please, I don't fucking know.
I know. Please don't forget to review, rate, and subscribe. Patreon is open again.
New Seltzer for Life is out as of the episode. This episode being out of Little Cuts. There's a new Seltzer for Life.
Yep. And then we also will have our Fresh Wounds episode on Frontier, parenthetical S, coming out next week. So sign up for that and follow us along for the ride.
Hell yeah. Thank you to Eric Power for our artwork. Thank you to Sean Keller for our music. Thank you everybody for listening and supporting. Please stay safe out there, but most importantly, stay creepy.
And until next time.